lot of dismay all around us. You know, as I was meditating on this message, a lot of thoughts come into my mind. I looked back over my life and I began to understand that there's a lot of people that molded me into what I am today. If you look on the board, you'll see the first word up there is Papa. And that holds a very special meaning to me in my life. As I begin to put this together, I want to quote some things to you. The pastor asked us one time, as ministers, to always put not only God in our message, obviously, but a little bit of ourselves in the message as well. And, you know, as I was putting this together, I keep going back and I think about a lot of things, like I said. First, the meaning of the word Papa. It's what my granddaughter calls me. It's what I call my grandfather. And that's why it's got such a significant meaning to me. And as I was putting this message together, the title of this message was entirely different. It was called Jesus, Why Jesus Prayed to God. And you know, we've heard it said many, many times, and Brother Sanford done a really good job the other day of breaking things down for us in this church. You know, and as I come to you tonight, I come in here tonight, I was all excited, but it seems like for whatever reason, the Spirit's just kind of going a different path tonight. And, you know, as I meditated on this and the word Papa come to my mind, and then I was like, Papa, I get it. That's Grandpa. I understand that. And I heard the voice of God say, no, that's the purpose of a praying attitude. You know, so it went right along with exactly what I've got for you tonight. So the title has a couple of meanings to me. Like I said, you know, Papa was my grandfather's name. I never called him Grandpa. I never called him Carl Carr. I never called him anything like that. I always called him Papa for as long as I could remember. I remember many, many times at 5 o'clock in the morning, be sitting at his house breaking down the Word of God at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't know the significance of what that was until the last 10 years or so of my life, maybe 15 years of my life. I was being groomed for something that I was going to face that, you know, it really set me back on my heels. Again, I don't know why I feel led to go this way, but I'm going to go this way. Maybe God's got something bigger planned for what we're going to do tonight. You know, we're faced with trials and tests on every side. And we sometimes, you know, as Pastor John was singing that song a while ago, I looked over my cousin Jason, and I remember my Uncle Jimmy used to be in the pulpit, and he would sing that song. And the significance of that song to my Uncle Jimmy, you will never understand. The first time we heard that song, a good brother, friend of ours, Mike Pender, he sung that song at our church, and then my uncle just kind of adopted it into his life, and he began to sing that song, and I remember watching him as he would stand and sing that song, and tears would pour down his face, and I would see a broken man. I'd see a man that was searching for something, and then his life began to change, began to take a major change in a lot of ways, and I go back to, again, Papa. You know, some people says thank God for a praying mom, which I do. I thank God for a praying mom. I thank God for an obedient mom. But also thank God for a praying papa. You know, my grandfather was a very stern man, very focused in his understanding, very deliberate in what he said. I don't think I ever heard him apologize for saying what he said when it comes to serving God, because he was that way. He was a proud man of God. He started off in a ditch in Germany, and he said, I remember looking up into the sky and saying, I don't even know if you're real or not. I don't even know if you exist or not. But if you take me back home, I promise you I'll serve you the rest of my life. He came back home, and like most of us, he forgot that promise that he made to God when God was protecting him over in Germany. And the story goes on that he ended up losing one of his children, and he heard the voice of God say, because you lied to me, I'll take the one you love the most. and his youngest son died of pneumonia. And my grandfather told me, he said, that changed me. It changed me for the better. He said, it made me that much more determined to make heaven my home. Then you flash forward a bunch of years, and as I laid my son to rest, I remember looking down at the casket thinking, I'm going to make heaven my home. I got to get there. So I begin to pray. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I don't think we understand the significance of prayer sometimes. You know, we get to our knees and we pray and we ask God for this and we ask God for that. And sometimes God will come knocking at our bedside or our door side and say, hey, I need you to pray for so-and-so, or I need you to pray for this situation in this person's life. And we tend to forget those kind of prayers. So we don't fully understand the significance of prayer. The purpose of prayer is a multifaceted thing, to be honest with you. And as I was listening to some sermons about prayer, putting this message together, I thought back over my life about all the things that I'd been through. And then I began to think about some of my family and my friends and all the things they've been through. And I watched the only thing that they could trust and depend on, Brother Joe, was prayer. That was it. Friends betrayed us. Loved ones turned their backs on us. Husbands left wives and wives left husbands. Children walk away and don't come and see us no more. But the one thing that we have that's a constant in our life is prayer. And that's because with prayer brings comfort. In the toughest times of your life, prayer will bring the simplest peace into your heart and make you go, where did that come from? Pastor John, I remember when I lost my son, I remember being at peace. I remember going, I'm going to preach his funeral. I remember going, it's going to be okay. God's going to get us through this. And I couldn't count on a lot of things, but one thing I could count on is every time I went to my knees and prayed, I knew that God was going to send me some kind of comfort back into my life to let me know that it's going to be okay. I'm going to read you a bunch of scriptures right quick, and I want you to understand the significance of what prayer is. I'm going to bounce down through here, and then they're going to put some scriptures up for me here in a little bit. It says, Luke 15, or 5 and 16, it says, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed, this being Jesus, okay? John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Luke 22 and 42, it says, saying, Father, if it be thy will, be thy willingly, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See, our will sometimes is not what God wants. So many times, you know, I've heard stories. I flash back to the pastor, you know, how he said he fought really hard about taking on a church because he knew the consequences of coming along with it, but it just wouldn't go away. And it wouldn't go away. And we prayed. We had his back in prayer. And group prayer is a beautiful thing. It's an awesome thing. It changes things. It moves mountains. It takes away the stains of life. It takes away the pains in life. Group prayer is awesome. Singular prayer is great. Because if I can pray and things happen on my own, when we come together as a group, how much greater do you think is going to happen? A lot greater things than that's going to happen. Luke 11, 1 through 4. It came to pass that he, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And we all know this. We all know this verses. We've all probably said this prayer a million times. And he said unto them, when thou prayest, say, O Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, so in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is in debt to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I want to stop right there because I want you to understand something. That isn't your prayer. That's God's prayer. That's Jesus' prayer to God. He give you that as a guideline to go by to let you know that you can pray whatever you want to pray, but ultimately the Father's will is going to be done in your life. Honestly. So we have to let the same mind be in us, which also is in Christ Jesus, so that way when things don't go our way, Pastor John, we don't get hurt. We don't misunderstand why God didn't allow this to happen. You know, I used to be a man that, when I was younger, my mom sits back there, and my mom was always my prayer chain to God, always. And I remember one time I saved up a bunch of money, man, and I had this brainstorm of an idea. I was about to go buy me a motorcycle. And I've told you this story before, but for the ones that's heard it, you can sit still for a second. I'm going to tell the ones that haven't. And I remember I went to my mom, and I said, Mom, I want you to pray about this, and you tell me whatever God tells you. See, I was just naive enough and faithful enough to go, if Mom prays, God's going to answer, because I've seen it multiple times. And I knew that it was not may not be the answer that I wanted, but I still was going to follow what the answer was. The very next day, I come home from work, and she walked up to me. She said, you asked me to pray, didn't you? And I said, yes, I did. I said, what did God tell you? Because, see, there was no doubt. See, that's where we need to get to in our lives, that when people come to us and say, pray about something, there's no doubt what's going to come our way. Don't doubt in what's being said to you. Allow God's will to take place in your life, and I promise you're going to be a happier person. But that day, she told me, she said, don't buy that motorcycle, because I had a dream last night you got killed on a motorcycle. Needless to say, that money didn't go on no motorcycle. That's how much faith I had in my mom's prayer. I won't say where else it did go because, you know, I'm a car nut. So, hey, that's where it took off to, I'll tell you. But you know what? The bottom line of that was when I went to Mom, I knew that God was going to give her an answer. And unlike some of us, people don't have enough faith in us any longer to come to us and say, pray about something, because they see us not getting our prayers answered because we're not understanding the significance of prayer. We pray for new homes, we pray for new cars, we pray for relationships, we pray for this, we pray for that, but do we ever really honestly search out prayer and pray for salvation and pray for a guidance, for a way to make heaven our home? And once we do get the answer from God, because trust me, he does give you the answer, it's right here in black, white, and red, he gives you that answer. Are you willing to sacrifice what thus saith the Lord? You know, Jesus laid this out to give us a guideline to get started. This is not what we should pray. I'm not saying it's a bad prayer, because I don't think it is. The flesh man had to give us some kind of guidelines to go by to understand the significance of prayer. In Matthew 26 and 28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of their sins. Matthew 26, 39. And he went a little further and fell down on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, again, not my will, but your will. Luke 6, 12 and 13. It came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. But we say a little 5-minute prayer and we think that's sufficient. We say a little peaceful church mouse prayer over our food in the restaurant, and we think that's sufficient. You know, there's no better way to be an example to somebody. I'm not saying get all loud and boisterous in the restaurant, but there might be somebody sitting next to you that may need to hear you pray. And I'm going to bring you forward a little bit. I remember going to my mom, and I said, Mom, I want you to pray about something for me. Again, I trust in my mom's prayer. She said, you don't know what you're asking. You don't understand what you're asking for yourself, son. You don't. I hope you're willing to take it, but I'll pray for it. And there's times now that I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about some of you folks in here and praying for you, going, man, just help them get their life together. Help them get straightened up. Help them, Lord, get to the point where they can be comfortable in walking with you and understanding what you're saying to you and understand what you're saying to them. And, you know, and my wife and I, we went up and visited my sister-in-law when she's in the hospital and she was on a ventilator. And I remember my wife, she was sitting there and she was rubbing my sister-in-law's hand and she was talking to her, and Kathy was just laying there. And I've seen it. I know what it's all about. I watched Kim go through it for 31 days. I got to be cell phoned in because it was during COVID and we couldn't be there with her, but I got Teams and we had to chat with the doctors and stuff, and I would watch my wife lay there and knowing I couldn't touch her hand and tell her it's going to be okay. But I watched my wife rub my sister-in-law's hand and tell her, Kathy, God's going to bring you through this. God's going to bring you through this. The other day we went and visited her and she said, Kim, I can't believe the prayers that you prayed like that. Look at me now. My sister-in-law is a completely changed woman because of somebody's prayers that got through to God. Hebrews 5, 7, and 8. I'll back up a little bit for you here. Continue to pray all night to God. And verse 13 in Luke 6, 13, it says, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, who also he named apostles. Boy, that right there, that could preach. Jesus handpicked. He handpicked the people to be his apostles. How many of you sitting in here think that maybe God might have handpicked you to do something different with your life? That's a good message right there. That's a message that someday somebody will preach in here. You were handpicked because God picks only the best. And the ones that aren't the best, Sister Laney, he makes them the best. He changes them and he molds them into what he wants them to be if they're willing and acceptable to what thus saith the Lord. Hebrews 5, 7, and 8. Who in those days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers unto supplication and strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Again, this is Jesus praying to God. And was heard in that he feared. And was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned to be obedient by the things which he suffered. We think we don't suffer. You know, I don't know where this whole thing got off with the stereotype of Christians. When they become Christians, they turn their life over to God, and everything's all peaches and cream, and after that, you don't have no problems. I remember when I lost my son, and I was sitting around one day, and I was crying my eyes out, and I said, Mom, what is going on? And she looked at me in the eye, and I heard my grandfather's voice. Brother Joe, I heard my grandfather's voice as clear as a bell. And Mom said, what, you think it don't rain on the just and the unjust just alike? And I went, wow. Okay, it does. It does. The just part of that is I have God to help us get through this stuff. We have God to bring peace when you don't think there is any peace. You know, I made a promise to my wife when she was in the hospital. I promised her when she walked out the door of my house that morning at 6:20 in the morning, I will never sleep in my bed again until you come home. And Brother Joe, I remember sleeping on the recliner, and I remember sleeping in the floor, and I remember praying and going to the hospital parking lot, standing out in the parking lot with people around us. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And you know what? When God don't answer our prayers, sometimes immediately we begin to think, well, God's just not going to do it. Maybe I'm praying against God's will. Pastor John, we do that. We pray against God's will sometimes. And I remember as the days drug by, and then it began to be longer, and then it become weeks, and I'm going, okay, I'm not going to see my wife come home. And then my son got up and preached the message that Brother John was talking about the other day. He said, Levi stood up and he said, I don't care what the doctor says or anything else, my mom's coming home. And you know what? It's like a shot of insulin in my arms all over again, Brother Elisha. I went, Kim's coming home. Kim's coming home. When you least expect God to comfort you, God will bring comfort into your life. I know what you go through in your life, and sometimes you think, man, it's never going to happen. It's never going to change. I'm never going to be the same, and thank God we're never going to be the same sometimes. The old man don't get us where we need to be. The new man through Christ Jesus will get us to where we need to be. I've watched people suffer so many heartaches and so many loss, but I've always watched them hit their knees, and somehow, some way, they find peace in the situation. You may not know. You may not know, and I'm going to tell you the significance of prayer. When I was sitting at home one day and I was thinking, why did my son have to go at 16 years old? Why? And I remember getting bitterly angry with God. I said, why did you do this to me? Why did you put Kim and I through this? And I remember the voice of God coming down from heaven and saying, why does it have to be about you? I went, whoa, wait a minute here. I'm the one that's still here. But you speak and I'll listen. He said, why couldn't I have done what I'd done for Eric? I'm going, okay, death, 16-year-old son, I'm not getting the connection here, God. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I'm not really making the connection here. And I went to bed a couple nights after that, and I remember a dream that I had, and I dreamed that my son come up, and he grabbed me by the shirt, and he pulled me up in his face. He said, Dad, I'm dying. I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're not dying. You're too young to die. That's not the way cycle of life works. I go before you. He said, Dad, I'm dying. I said, no, you're not. And he grabbed me and he pulled me up in his face. He said, Dad, I got cancer and I'm dying and there's nothing you can do about it. And I woke up, run to my son's bedroom that night, laid in his bed, cried my eyes out because I didn't even realize my son was already gone home. And I remember as clear as a bell thinking, that's why God did what God did. It's amazing to me that God can just open up your thought process if you're just willing to accept it as a man, as a flesh, as a woman, as a flesh, and we put aside the things that we're so emotionally attached to. When God does something, we go, okay, that's why God did that. Sometimes we don't understand. I went for months not understanding. I went for months wondering why. And even to be honest with you, I went so long that I started backsliding because I was beginning to think I was never going to get an answer from God and was never going to hear from God. And then poof, in comes a dream. I'm not a dream guy, trust me. So when I tell you that stuff, I'm not a dream guy. I don't lay much stock in dreams, but I do know when God sends me something in my dreams and God sends me visions. I do understand those things. I've been doing this long enough to understand that. And you know, I'm going to go back to my scriptures before I get too far off. It says Philippians 2 and 8, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Luke 3, 21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved son. In thee I am well pleased. I don't know about the rest of you, but I got two parents that sits in this church, and it was always, always my goal to get my parents to be pleased in what I did. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I didn't make mistakes. I've made some pretty dumb decisions, folks. Trust me. Some dumb decisions. And got the scars to show it. But I can't imagine what it would have been like to have the Spirit of the Holy Ghost descend from heaven, shine out over him, and go, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. How many of you think God's well pleased in us? That's a hard saying. Who will hear? How many of us actually believe that when we pray, God hears our prayers and he changes things because we prayed? You know, you can rock the floors of heaven hard enough that you can actually change the mind of Christ. Better make sure what you're praying for is really what you want. Because if God changes his mind and makes it back to you, you go, whoa, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't have prayed so hard. Thanks, God. I'm glad you heard me, but hey, could you lighten the load up a little bit? Oh, I really got to have that new car. I got to have that new car. Got to have that new car. $65,000. I got to have that new car. God giving me that. Give me that. Give me that. It kind of reminds me of a kid wanting a cookie, and they keep after their parents so long. Finally, they go, here, just take it. Shut up. And God goes, okay, you prayed this prayer. I'm going to answer this prayer. And then you go, Pastor John, I can't pay my tithes this week. I got a truck payment due. How pleased do you think God is in that? Or Pastor John, I can't throw no money in the offering tray this week. Pastor John, I can't give anything to the missionaries this week. Pastor John, I'm sorry, I can't help the church anymore because my bills are piled up so much. But we all started it off with prayer. See, that's why I say we don't understand the significance of prayer. We don't understand what we get ourselves into by the prayers. I'm going to lighten the load with you a little bit. This is one of my favorite stories. I was probably 8 years old. And I remember there was this pretty little girl who lived next door to us, Bro Joe. And, man, I laid awake all night long one night. I mean, didn't sleep the whole night. And all I kept saying over and over and over again was, God, please let her be my girlfriend. Please let her say yes when I ask her. Please let her say yes when I ask her. Please let her say. And I got up next day, Bro John, and I went and asked her, and she said, yeah, I can do that. I said, yes, God answered that prayer. She said, but I'm moving tomorrow. I went, what? See, that's a childish thing, but laughter is the best thing you can possibly do. And I remember thinking, yeah, at that age, God done answered my prayer, only for her to move away the next day. Never seen her again. I did get that one kiss, though. I did get that one kiss. Yeah, okay, I'll get back to being serious again. It says in John 11:41-42, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I want you to listen to this real, real close, okay? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. This is talking about Lazarus. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. See, when we pray, before we start our prayer, we should say, Father, thank you for hearing me. Speak it into existence like it's already there. Let God know that you're serious about what you're praying. Let God know that if you see a married couple that's having an issue, you go to God and you say, God, I know what you said you put together no man could take asunder, so thank you, Father, for hearing me. Now I'm going to pray this prayer for so-and-so. And see how quickly things change. You first have to acknowledge that God does hear you for God to hear you. Does that make sense to you? You have to first acknowledge that God hears you before God hears you. You have to know that you're living a good enough life that you go, hey, God, can you take care of this for me? And God says, absolutely. You know, there's so many scenarios that I'm going through in my head up here right now that I'm thinking about. I could look around this room and just like Brother John did the other day, start pointing out miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Folks, do you realize that everybody sitting in this room is a miracle of God? You're all a miracle of God in some way, shape, or form. I was a lost, dying soul in need of salvation, and God said, hey, Brother Carl, come forth. Brother Carl, come forth. Just like you. And then I went on and I served God for a while, and then because of the dumb decisions I was making, I backslid and got into the crazy things of the world again, only to have to come back home and say, God, forgive me. First, I had to know that God heard me. Secondly, I had to believe that God was going to forgive me before I get that prayer answered. It says, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. I said it for their sake, not for my sake, because I already know you hear me. I'm saying it so that they understand that you're hearing what we're talking about here. God, you and me, we got this little connection going on. We got this little thing going on. When I talk, you listen. When you talk, I listen. That's the way this works. It's kind of like a good marriage. Okay, a good marriage. Sometimes you got to listen to what your spouse is saying to get them to hear what you're saying. Sometimes you got to be there for them when you don't really feel like it. Man, when my wife drags me to antique stores, I'm going, oh, God, I'm going to pull out what hair I got left. And then when I try dragging her to car shows or something like that, she's going, this guy's killing me. Okay, we'll go just so we can be spending time together. You know, sometimes when you pray to God, God goes, are you really going to pray that again? Didn't you understand that I've already answered that for you? Don't you know that that's already taken care of? Don't you know that when you laid it down at the altar, no matter where your altar was at, Brother Caleb, don't you know that that's already taken care of? I've already got that. It's already taken care of. Just don't worry about it. It'll happen. It'll happen when I say, okay, shine down. And the spirit falls down, and next thing you know, you go, yep, he did it. He did just exactly what I said he would do. I remember when Kim came home. We were driving across Worthville Road when I got the phone call that they took Kim off the ventilator. And I remember the lady called me and she said, this is Ashley from St. Francis. I said, I know who this is. And she goes, I want to let you know that Kim's off the ventilator. She's doing good. She's breathing on her own. Everything's going to be fine. Kim's going to be okay. We're going to get her home to you. And I went, excuse me? She goes, you there? I said, yeah, I'm here. I said, what did you say? She said, Kim's off the ventilator doing good. Her oxygen's up. She's doing great. I said, can I talk to her? She goes, no, she just got a ventilator tube taken out of her throat. First thing I want to do is talk to her. And she goes, no, you can't talk to her. And I'm like, and then I started calling people. Brother Joe, and I was excited. I was calling everybody. I mean, I was telling everybody. And this man right here, him and I has always had this special connection. And when I called him and began to talk to him, I broke. I remember hearing the crying in his voice, and then I began to break, and I'm like, John, she did it. We did it. We changed the circumstances. Through prayer, we changed the circumstances because our hands were tied. We changed the circumstances. And I remember being in the middle of 31 over here holding Sister Serena's head in my hand and her leg broken all to pieces and blood pumping out all over the street and her looking at me saying, please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. And I'm going, you're not going to die. You're going to be fine. Carl, I got three girls. I got girls I got to raise. I got grandbabies. I can't die. I said, you're not going to die. I said, you focus on me and they'll focus on that. And the inside of me, I'm telling you right now, was shaking like a leaf on a tree. My little brother's looking at me going, Carl, don't let her die. Don't let her die. And I'm going, I can't do nothing but pray. And the next thing I know, my little sister, there was a guy walked out, and my little sister said, let's go to prayer now. And I promise you guys, as God is my witness, through all of that turmoil, there was ambulances every place. John was being treated. Serena was being treated. They had tied off her leg to stop the bleeding. And when we started praying, you can ask my sister, it got just as still and quiet as could be. And you knew it was going to be okay. That peace came into my heart, and I'm like, she's going to be fine. Because God just said so. You know, and then I go back to a story that my mom told me one time. My little brother Kim was a part of this when they were fishing with my grandmother. And mom, was it you that had the episode or was it Mim? Yeah, it was you, wasn't it? And my little brother Ken said, you know, Mim and me, we broke out in prayer on that fishing bank. And he said, all you could hear was the birds chirping in the background. Everything else was just quiet. It was just quiet as could be. And they knew it was going to be all right. See, guys, the significance of prayer, I know this ain't no burning message for you or anything else. I want you to understand the significance of prayer. I want you to understand what does change your life. Everything else you can sacrifice. You can get away from the alcohol. You can get away from the adultery. You can get away from the pornography. You can get away from all the other stuff, the drugs. You can get away from the lying tongue. You can get away from the deceitful speech. You can get away from all that stuff. But the one thing that will change you more than anything in your walk with God is prayer. Because God needs to have an open prayer chain between him and his children. This is another significance of what I'm talking about here. Jesus knew what he was doing when he prayed in front of the people. He knew how to put his words out there to get everybody to understand. He knew what he was doing when he said, Father, thank you. I know you hear me. Now, let's get down to business. And we all know the story. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus got up and walked out. And he didn't even stink. We know the story. I'm going to bounce ahead a little bit for lack of time. I'm going to go to Luke 22. And 43, they got it on the board for us. And it says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven and strengthened him. In your weakest moments, I can't stress this enough to you. In your weakest moments, you can't strengthen yourself. People around you can't strengthen you. There's only one being that can strengthen you because you were created in his image. You were processed to be like Christ. We were created, Sister Amy, to raise our hands and thank God through all situations. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. But the rewards on the backside is that you know that everything's going to be okay. You know that everything's going to be okay. It says in verse 44, it says, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as if it become great drops of blood falling to the ground. We go back to those little church mouse prayers. Oh, God, please reach down and bless Sister Laney. Would you listen to that? You think God's going to listen to that? Lord, I know you hear me now. Reach down and touch Sister Laney. Help her get what she's desiring in life and prosper it and make it grow. You see the difference? You take authority over the situations in your life because God gave you that authority. God gave you the authority to come to him front and center and say, Lord, let's take this on. I'm not going to run from the enemy. I'm not going to take a back seat to the devil. I'm not going to allow that deceitful thing to come back into my life. I'm going to rebuke it and send it on its way. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you start doing that, you better get ready because the enemy's going to come harder. Because the stronger you get, the harder he comes. The faster and the more frequent he knocks at your door. He's not going to let you serve a God without tempting you or trying you. You've heard it said many times in this place and many times in many preachers come out their mouth. You've heard them say, when you become a child of God, the tests and trials, they get a little stronger. When you become a child of God, the devil tries a little harder because he can't afford to lose one. We sing a song around here. Hell lost another one. Every time a saint makes their way to God, the enemy goes, no, I can't have that. I can't have that. You know, I hope Brother Teddy don't mind me using him as an example. When I first met this man, the first time I met him was at the meetings that we have. And I knew there was something special about him. And then I heard stories about how Sister Amy was going around saying, I don't know what you folks are doing to Teddy over there, but man, I like it. He's not the Teddy he used to be. You see how great that is? My God, if that don't make you get chicken skin, I don't know what's going to. That's enough to make you go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for changing that man. You know, it's a beautiful thing to watch somebody that's been in the shape that he was in, and I've heard his story, to see him sitting in the church right now. There's nothing short of a miracle in that, folks. Nothing short of a miracle. It could have ended so many different ways. But now it's on a way of finding his way home to be with the master that saved him. That's the significance of prayer. That's the kind of things I'm talking about praying about. If you really love somebody, pray that God changes their life. And be willing when they say, hey, I'm praying that God changes your life. Go, okay, well, I don't know what I need to change. But you tell God, God tells me, hey, we're going on. We're going to make the changes. Sister Diane, I'm going to make that change. Brother Paul Runyon, in his absence, I admire this man because of one time he taught the men's prayer. And he told us all, he said, if a brother comes to you, and he said, I was praying last night and God told me to tell you this. He said, don't be offended at him. Back up and take a second and think about what that brother's saying, because odds are God's already told you that. He just sent an angel to line it up. It's amazing what God can do given the chance and the significance of prayer. You can have all the Bible reading you want. I'm going to tell you right now, you can read the Bible back and forth. Like Pastor John said the other day, I know drunks that can quote you pretty much every scripture out of the Bible. I mean, literally. You can say, what does Luke 22 and 31 say? And they'll go, pap. And you're going, wow. And then that little enemy thing comes inside your head, and he goes, that man right there knows his Bible. No, he don't. He remembered it. He doesn't know it. He doesn't live it. If he did, he'd be a changed individual, because God don't live in a dirty home. He don't make his house and make his bed in a filthy individual. He changes that individual. Don't never let the enemy get inside your head and confuse you, because people talk a good talk. That makes them a man or woman of God, because that's not true. That's another significance of prayer. Because if you know what you know, the enemy can't do anything like that and get inside your head and go, man, that dude's a pretty cool dude. He knows his word. I'm going to hang out with him for a while. If you're drunk and a drunk quotes you scripture, don't go hang out with him. Don't go hang out with him. That's the worst thing in the world you can do. If a sinner can quote you the Bible and you're a former sinner, which we all are, don't go hang out with him. Don't put yourself back in that place no more. God brought you out of that because somebody hit their knees in the front of a church one time or at their bedside one night and was praying, saying, God, please change Brother Basil. Please turn his life around. Please give him some instructions and guide him and help him to guide his family. Somebody loved you enough sometime, Brother Basil, to pray that prayer for you. I thank God for God-fearing people that pray an earnest prayer. Boy, and I definitely thank God for people that can pray and get through. Pray and get through. You know, I'm going to say this as I get ready to come to a close. I know I didn't get to read all my scriptures, but I'm going to try and get you out of here. There's a man that come and visited this church the other day, and I'm going back many, 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 many years, to be honest with you. And I remember this man. Boy, he was tough. Lord have mercy. As a teenager, he was a tough dude. When this man walked in the neighborhood, people feared. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's just the way he was. When he walked the streets, people walked the other side. I seen it with my own eyes. I watched it happen. And him and I, we reconnected just recently. And I remember Mom telling me, she said, Randy Arthur's looking for you. I went, really? She goes, yeah. She said, he want me to tell you he's getting baptized. And I went, wow. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. So I got his number, and I hit him up, and we started talking. He come and visited this church the other day. And if you would have told me 15, 20 years ago I would have been sitting beside Randy Arthur worshiping God, I would have said, you're crazy in your head. There ain't no way that's ever going to happen. And as he was sitting here, he told me, he said, you know what? We had a praying mom. Brother Eddie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He said, we had a praying mom. And he said, my family, we all kind of went different ways, and we all got off and done our own thing. And he said, Brother Crawley, he said, if I would have known back then what I know now, I wouldn't have been the man I was. I wouldn't have been the man I was. And you know what? I thank God because somebody spent some time on their knees for Randy Arthur. I thank God for that. Because now I can talk to that man, and I had that man tell me he loves me the other day. That means a lot to me, to be honest with you. That means a lot to me because I know his backstory. And I am still rejoicing inside that my friend, my brother, Randy Arthur, is in a church finding his way home. I thank God for it every day. There's not a day goes by that I don't think about him. I can appreciate what God done for him in his life because I know what kind of man he was. And he'll tell you, I was rough as they come. I was rough as they come. Folks, please don't try to tell me that prayer don't work. I know differently. I know the significance of prayer. I know that prayer can change things. I know prayer can make things happen. But I also know that sometimes you just can't change the will of God. And as men and women that follow the Master, sometimes we have to know how to accept those blows as well as the promising ones. Sometimes we have to learn how to accept the fact that God's will was done. It just wasn't my will. If God's will, my will would have been done, my son would still be here. Sure, if I pass this mic around this room, there's a lot of you would say the same exact thing. But unfortunately, we don't get to deal that hand. We only get to look to the side that God's going to bring peace in our times of trouble. Guys, I can't tell you the number of tears I shed for my wife. I can't tell you the number of times that Jediah, Laura stood in my front room on a phone, looking at my wife and talking to her on the phone because we couldn't be there. I can't tell you the times that I stood in a parking lot in the freezing rain praying God change things. I can't tell you the times that I watched and wondered and began to get weak in my spirit, Brother Peter, and go, yeah, I might as well face it. My wife's not going to be here much longer. You know, there is nothing greater than watching my wife break open her Bible or turn on a gospel station or walk through my house singing a gospel song. There's nothing greater than that. There's nothing greater than walking in here and seeing a house full of folks that I know you got troubles on every side. Every one of us have issues that we're facing right now. Acceptance, separation, anxiety. All these things that the enemy tries to use against us, the significance of prayer is that God takes that sting away. He may not take the hurt. Trust me, he may not take the hurt, but he will take the sting. He will take the sting. I remember, like I said, many, many times sitting at my grandfather's table at 5 o'clock in the morning. I used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was nothing for me to jump out of bed because I knew. It was almost like getting to go to church every single morning, 5 days a week, Brother Joe, because I was learning from one of the greatest men of God that I've ever known in my life, and I wouldn't trade those times for anything in my life. I wouldn't give nothing for the times that I got up and staggered to the bathroom at 4 o'clock in the morning and went and took a shower and went and climbed in a car when it was 18 degrees and snowing and 18 inches of snow or whatever on the ground, and made my way to my grandfather's house, and he would be sitting there at the kitchen table with a fresh pot of coffee on and his Bible open. Guys, we need saints like that again. We need saints like that again. We need saints that when we go to them, we know that God's going to hear their prayer. I'm looking forward to being that saint that somebody finds their way to my house at 5 o'clock in the morning. My wife may not like that, but I tell you right now, I'd sure open a door for you in a heartbeat and sit down and have a Bible study, would you? I promise you I would, because that's what God's called us to do. He didn't call us to hide. He called us to be a light on a mountain. He called us to be a light in the darkest times in people's lives, the time that they don't think they can make it through their own. You know, I remember leaving my house one time. I said, I'll be back. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the tattoo parlor. She said, no, you're not. Yeah, I am. She said, Carl, you're not going to do that. I said, yeah, I am. And I left and I went to the tattoo parlor. That's how far back I got after my son passed away. I went and marked my body up knowing that I shouldn't have. See, every single day, I keep my arms hid because of that reason. I'm not saying anything against tattoos. I'm just telling you my personal convictions, okay? I'm telling you what I feel in my heart. And I'm telling you how far back I got. I got back to the point where it almost cost me my marriage. I got back to where it did cost me my walk and my salvation with God. And I'm asking you, please don't go that far. If you've already known the Lord, don't allow the enemy to come back inside your heart and begin to exercise his stupidity in your heart and your spirit again. I know there is hard times. There is hard times serving God. 2022 was the roughest year of my entire life. My entire life. It was the hardest time. I battled so many different things, and it felt like, honestly, it felt like the devil had a machine gun. He was like, pop, 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 and I couldn't figure out which one to take first. And you know, about 90% of that stuff was self-inflicted. When you can admit that you did it to yourself, that's when the healing process begins. We have to first come to the understanding that when we pray, God hears us. Then we have to come to the understanding that, hey, I might have caused this. I heard a man say this the other day. He was talking about his marriage. And he said, we separated and we went our separate ways. And he said, you know, I was sitting at home one night, and he said, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, this is bad. This is really rough. But what did I do to contribute to this? See, I'm asking you tonight, I'm asking you to search your hearts. If you think your prayers aren't getting through, you think your walk isn't close enough with God, the altars are open. I'm asking you to find your way up here and understand that when you pray, you got a praying church that's got your back. You know, when Kim and I lost Eric, if we didn't have people praying for us, we never would have made it through. We never would have made it through. So I'm asking you tonight, like I said, this wasn't no barn-burning message, and I hope and pray this got down inside your thought process, and I hope and pray you take it home and you meditate on what prayer really means. Because we need a church full of prayer warrior people. We need that. That's something that we've gotten away from in the church world. The prayer warriors have faded off. People don't pray like they should no more. They don't fast like they should anymore. I just read to you a bunch of scriptures about how Jesus laid it out that that's exactly the way it's supposed to be. And the significance of prayer is this. If you want things to change, allow God to change you. Thank you. God bless you.